Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
I'm on? Yes. God bless you. Thank you, musicians. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Amen. So, quickly, I got a lot, so let's go and move on. I won't make too many comments, so I won't keep you too late. So, let us go to Philippians 3:14 and read a scripture, then we can pray. It says, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. It's a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And let's go to Romans 1:7 also, because I'm going to tell you what the calling is. To all that be in Rome, he says, beloved of God, called to be what? So that's a high call. That's a tall order. I mean, you don't even address yourself as saints. You do, you know, I'm a Christian. Yeah, but you're a saint. And if somebody asks you, what are you? I'm a saint. You don't even mention that because you think that that's out of your category. But you're not. You are a saint. You are called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Corinthians 1 verse 2 also. Unto the church of God, which is in Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ. Called to be what? You are called to be saints. That is your goal. That is your mark. And that's a tall order. And that's what we're going to talk to now. With all that is in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. You know, and God is always good. God vindicates his word. We had not seen that song, "Oh, When the Saints," right? I don't know when the last time we sung that song, but see, God is good. I don't need the vindication, I don't need the confirmation, but it's good when you have it. Today we're going to talk about saints. We are saints. And we're going to explore a little bit deeper what it takes to be that. Amen. And how God is going to intend to do that. Because you and I cannot go up. We have fallen. You know, Adam fell and we had fallen. And the only way to go up is by falling in love with Jesus. We fell down, but we need to fall in love with him to go back up. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity that we have. This Wednesday, Father, to come and gather together to fellowship around your word, Father. We thank you it is a great honor and a pleasure, Father, to be behind this pulpit, Father. So I'm asking your help, Father. We'll get out of the way, Father, and you take control everything that we do from the pulpit to the back door, Father. Not only me, but everybody that is here, Father, we need to be anointed, not only the pulpit, but our hearts here. We need to be anointed, Father, with the same unctions, Father, so we can receive, Father, the word that you have for us tonight. Thank you again for giving us strength and giving us health, energy, Father, to be here tonight, Father. We could have been some other place, but we have chosen, Father. We have chosen to come to the house of the Lord tonight and gather together and just call upon your name, Father, because we know that everything that we have need is in that name. We got all the power, everything that we have need, Father, to change is in that name. And tonight we worship you and we exalt you unto the Most High, Father. In Jesus' name we ask you this thing. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. So, called to be saint. That's what we're going to try to break this down. So, you know, not like saints that sometimes we hear, you know, some churches, some denominations, you know, a saint is someone that they decide that after they dead, you know, they want to canonize and become saints. And all that because the work they did. And I'm not knocking that down. People are kind. The missionaries, they do a lot of work and they do a lot of good. But if it was by works, then I'm out. Because those people, probably they're more nicer than I am. Some people are very, the last one that was canonized was what, I forgot her name, but she did a lot of good around the world, a lot of missionary work. But see, that's what they understand what a saint is, you know. But a saint is more than that. It's not by works. But we're going to see that is God got to choose you. And God has to make those changes. I mean, we cannot do it in our soul. We have to have something that is greater than us to bring us up to his level. Amen. So in Matthew 27, 52 and 53, this is not a Bible, a New Testament concept. This is an Old Testament concept too. And came out of the grave after his resurrection, Jesus' resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. 53. And the graves were open and many bodies of the saints. So this is Old Testament and this is New Testament. Because that is the goal. That is the mark that we need to rise up to move toward from those that are asleep. Amen. So why we need to be saints? Because a saint is sanctified and is holy. You know, God is holy. So God is going to marry a holy bride. She has to be just like him. And we heard that before. So holiness, that's why we preach so much holiness. Because that is our goal. You know, our life without sin, without blemish, without spot, without nothing, you know, like our Lord Jesus Christ. So in Ephesians 5:27 says that he might present to himself. Now, this is his purpose and this is his plan. That he can present into himself a glorious what? Church. Not having spot, wrinkles, or not such a thing. That is, should be what? Holy. And without blemish. I know that we like to progress and we talk about grow and progress into perfection. But you know what we progress into? To be holy. You know? I know the concept of holiness is not only about the way we dress and the way we do. The concept only that you are holy. God is making you holy, saint. And it's hard to grasp because we know our mistakes and our faults and this flesh. But God is going to have a bride and she's going to be a virtual bride and she'll be holy. So we have a tall call, order. But we're going to see that it is him that's going to do it, not us. So he's going to give himself a bride, pure, you know, without fault. And I don't see myself that way. But if you don't see yourself that way, you never perceive yourself that can happen to you. It never happens. I know it's a tall order and it's hard to conceive me, pure, holy. It says over here, without fault. Without no evil sins or any wrongdoing. Okay, well, who are we talking about, you know? I mean, we make mistakes every day. We make wrong choices. But we're not talking about this guy, right? We're going to see that later. So he's going to give a bride, and that's what he has been building in the last seven ages. Building a bride, a wife to himself. Excuse me. Saints. I like what Andy said Sunday about the bride, the virtuous woman, that she's an embodiment of holiness. That's how he put it. And I quote him, Andy, embodiment of holiness. I like that. Can you imagine walking to work, to school, and you are the embodiment of holiness? That would blow somebody's mind. They cannot even perceive you. That out of you? You? No. A virtuous woman, life of godliness, righteousness, and having the character of God, like Peter says. Peter, 2 Peter 1:3-5 says, growth in Christian virtue, the virtue of woman. For his divine power has bestowed his divine power. We just saw about that. There is a power in the name of Jesus. So it is his power. There's enough power there to change a life. It is his divine power has bestowed on us everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life of godliness. I think I have that in, don't I have it on the notes? If not, then I continue. I thought I did. For a dynamic spiritual life on godliness. Here you go. I got this for the Amplified Bible. It says, and godliness through the knowledge, the revelation that brings a personal understanding of who called us by his own glory and excellence. So everything that we have need for this kind of a life, we have it. So it is not that it's not going to happen. It's when it's going to happen. See? Of course, there's certain things we have to do, and this is what we're driving to. He says, so that by them, he says, his precious and magnificent promises, okay, for by this, his promises, he has bestowed on us his precious and magnificent promises, you know, so that by them you might escape from the immoral freedom that is in the world because of these disputable desires, you know, lust, and become sure of the divine nature. So we have the promises. Excellent, exceedingly, grateful promises, so we can become his nature. What is the nature of God? Holy. That's it, simple. No, there's no other nature. And we got to become holy. Brother Branham says in Blasphemous Name, this has to be first. Oh, okay, so before we get there, something has to happen, right? And when you have faith, virtue, knowledge, talking about Peter, you know, steps, the pyramid, virtue, knowledge, temperance, and you can add to that patience and godliness and brotherly love, then the Holy Ghost comes down and seals you as a unit. So it is not just you as a unit, because we are not going to live here one at a time, as a unit. Amen. And that is why the rapture cannot happen until there is unity. Now, I don't know how God is going to do it from Africa all the way to Mexico, all the way to... I don't know. There's many churches. Oh, thank you. There's many churches. But, you know, I don't need to know how he's going to bring all the churches in unity. But I'll tell you one thing. If we cannot unite ourselves in this little group, forget about the rest of it. So we have to start with us. He says, unity. So we have to have all those elements, okay, that Peter calls. That's what Brother Ben said. That has to be what? First. So there is a word. There is a process that we have to go through. Amen. It's not that we're going to jump from one, you know, from the first step to the seventh step. No. It's a progress. God is going to take us. And every step that we go, there is a process to take it to that step. And that step will give us, you know, a discipline in each step, and you will know it because it has to be displayed. So you know if you got there or not, because there had to be fruit, there had to be a display of that virtue. So you know what you are right now. See? So it's not something that is going to be foreign to you, you know, okay, what I'm supposed to do and where I'm supposed to be and what step I am this today and this Sunday and Wednesday. No. Once you start progressing, you know, you go up. Because if you go back down, you're backsliding. We cannot go from faith and back to virtue. Once you acquire one, you carry that one with you. And you fill your little back until you get to the last one. Amen? Never backslide. We're going up. It's a high calling. It's an upward move. Yeah. So never even turn around to look back. Because the devil will try to make you do, that's his tricks, okay? He said, the way to make his bride, he says, as a unit, the same as he seals the church, and just as a unit. He's building a bride. He's not building three, four. He's building one. And we are part of that unit. Amen. Amen. Then he says, then the way he makes his bride is the way he makes his individual. So the way you see in the Bible that the bride is being built for seven ages with all these virtues, right? Faith, temperance, knowledge. But that's also personal to you. You have to go as an individual, you have to go through all those, because we are going to be part of a body that has to have all the bride, that has to have all those virtues. Amen. So that is a process. Amen. The way he makes his bride is the same way he makes his individuals, made out of the same material. Like Eve was made out of Adam, out of the rib from the side. Here is the thing that you have to have first. You cannot impersonate them. Either you have faith or you don't have faith. Either you have brotherly love or you don't have brotherly love. So if you cannot impersonate, you better have them. Because I don't care how hard we try, we cannot impersonate them. See? So you cannot impersonate them. You cannot imitate them. Satan cannot do it. So you have to be a son, called and chosen before the foundation of the world. So this is what starts separating who is who, and our brother Doug was talking about, and who is not. Because if you're not, you're going to be impersonating. You cannot imitate them. They got to be God sent and God born. That has to happen first. God sent, and you have to be born a new creature. Amen. And God sent you before the foundation of the world. That's just why we are here. Because we were part of him before, and we are part of him today, and we will be part of him forever. So you need to make sure that your calling is sure. You need to know what you are and where you came from and who you are. You have to make that sure. Amen? Because the only thing that is left is imitation. You know, I'm not going to waste my time here to imitate anything. I want the real thing. The heaven is full of real things. What do I have to imitate? And he said imitation only causes confusion. So when there's confusion, there's not God, because God is not the creator of confusion. Right. Amen. So you can tell more or less, if there's confusion about anything, you know that's an imitation. Because God do not bring confusion. Imitation only causes confusion. So make your calling sure that you are who you said you are, that he says who you are. Amen. It has to be sure. Now, there's nothing wrong in imitating. Okay? Now, let me not just say, well, because Paul said, imitate me as I follow Christ, right? So there's nothing wrong in, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you know, let's take the, you know, youth, and or somebody that just come new and just received the Lord, they don't have the Holy Ghost. There's nothing wrong to just mark those that are, you know, as Christ, and walking and talking. Until, okay, we're not going to imitate them all the way. But you have to start somewhere, right? So there's nothing wrong. Well, I don't know about all these things. I'm new. I'm called. I'm a new baby in Christ. But I keep my eyes on my mom and my dad, you know. So parents, you have a big responsibility. Because you have to live this life. Amen? So when they get there, they can at least, you be the examples. And actually, you are God to your children. You are the sample of what God is. See, and that is the only thing that they're going to get, because they don't live with me 24/7, but they do you. So if they're going to have some question, they're not going to come to me. They're going to come to you. Why? Because they respect you and they have more, you know, word that I'm looking for. But anyway, so when you talk to your parents, you know, you're gonna believe more your parents than somebody else in the streets, you know, or a church. Not that we are wrong, But what I'm saying is, you have more influence, that's the way I'm looking, than I have on your children. They are your children, and they know you, and they believe you. Amen. Now we try all we can to have that influence by the way of life that we live. That's why we have to live a life that we have influence others. So there's nothing wrong about imitating, as long as we are imitating the right person. That's what you have to, the apostle, you need to mark those in your congregation. Mark those. And also mark those that are not, that you don't want to follow. Amen. So there's nothing wrong about imitating, but sooner or later you have to have a real experience with God. Amen. Amen. You know, sometimes that's the way go. To be a saint in Christ Jesus. And then you heard Brother Paul says, mark, you know, let's go towards the mark. So I heard, you know, in English you have a saying that said, people like to leave a mark on life, you know. And what they're meaning is they need to leave a legacy. You know, they like to leave something behind. See, maybe something that people will remember you for, right? So that's a mark. Living a life that everybody that sees us and talk to us, you know, it will remember who we are for what we do. Amen. So you want to leave your mark in life. That's what Paul said. Mark. What is your goal? What is your mark? See, he says, and you have to have a purpose. A purpose is the reason for which something exists or is created. That's why you need to know where you're going and what is the purpose. If you have a target and you don't have no target and you keep shooting, you ain't going to hit anything. If you get up in the morning and I'm going to Michigan and I don't have a GPS and I don't have nothing and I've never been in Michigan, you know where I'm going to end? Probably in you know, San Diego probably. I don't know. You need to know where you're going. And you need to know where direction to focus that, you know. When you are moving, you just cannot just take off. You have to know in life also that you are here, you have a purpose, and the purpose I already told you, the purpose is you have been called to high calling to be a saint. That's your goal, and that should be your purpose in life. Yeah. Because that is enough reason for us. You have to have a reason. Can you imagine, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, don't answer the question. I don't know. Well, you will not become anything. You don't know until you find out what you want to be. What is your purpose? I don't know. Well, what do you want to be? I don't know. Well, that is fine. That is fine. We were like that, lost, you know, in the world at one time before Jesus came to our life, and we didn't even know. We thought what we wanted to be. You know, naturally. And that's fine. But that's not what you have been called. You also have been called to be a saint of God. And that's enough reason for me to exist. And that is the only purpose and reason you have to be here tonight. Amen? Because that is what you want to be. So when you have a purpose, you don't waste time. You don't waste energy. Because you know where you're going and how to get there. So all the side distractions, everything that will take your time, you're not worried about it, see? If you don't have a purpose, then anything can go. But when you know where you're going and how you're going to get there, then your time, your energy is concentrated, you know, on that. So anything beside that, if it's not going to take me there, it's out. Satan offers a lot of good things. You know, that's what the Bible said, that in the time of that we are living, it's just the same time as Noah. They were drinking, marrying, giving in to marry, you know. There's nothing wrong with those things. But the problem was that's all they were doing. That was their target. Can you remember, wake up in the morning and the only thing you're thinking to get through the week so you can have your weekend? Entertainment. I mean, that's the goal. My goal is to make it through this week so I can have my weekend. Happy hour, you know, all that stuff. So that's all they were doing. Everything but thinking about what was the goal. That's a goal. They cannot help it. But you and I are different. We have a different goal. And we have to spend our time and our energy trying to get to that goal. We need to decide what we need to do, what not to we need to do, to just to move forward. Because I believe that that purpose is the reason that we are living here for. This is why we are here, not to be entertained or being moral. God already freed us from all that stuff. He cleans us up. He calls us. And now our purpose and our goal and our motivation and our determination is to reach our goal. Anything else is a waste of time. I mean, I don't think it's a waste of time to help somebody else in need. That's not what I'm talking about. But you have to choose what is and what is not of God in this world. We don't have too much time. Like Brother Andy said, you think you have enough time to... You don't know what's going to happen after you leave church. So that's what the Bible says. Don't waste your time, you know. So that is our purpose, you know. And we are determined to achieve something. And that something is, I want to be what he wants me to be. So it doesn't mean that church opens 7 days a week. But that's what I want to be, right? Philippians 3:17 says, brethren, be followers together of me. This is what I'm telling you. There's nothing wrong to follow somebody. And mark them which walk so as you have us for an example, right? So you make sure that the person that you follow is running the same course as Paul, as he stated in the gospel. You know, you make sure that he's heading the same way Paul is saying we need to head. See, we are going to become exactly the representation of that original one that called us. We are supposed to be reproduced into his image, through his representation. So it's nothing to run to start following somebody, but make sure he's running the way you're running, he's going the way you're going. Because you don't want to be sidetracked. We don't have no time to be sidetracked. We don't have time to be wasting time. Ephesians 6:4 says, and the fathers, it says, provoke not your children from wrath. I want to bring this because you are the sample. You know, but bring them up in the nature and admonition of the Lord. Why I'm saying this? Because whatever you teach them, that's what they're going to become. Whatever they see you doing, that's what they become. And that's why we have a lot of trouble, you know. Where are the children today, those that parents maybe did not dispel the wrath or whatever you want to call it? Or they didn't teach him the right way. Well, you want to go to church, you can go to church. You don't have to. Church not save. Well, with that kind of attitudes, yeah. What are you going to expect from the next generation? So parents, you are responsible to God, accountable for what you're teaching. Right. Because the next generation is going to say, well, this is what I used to do. Right. It says, Ephesians 5, provoke not your children to wrath. Do not come down on them so hard. See, it's what it's saying, provoke. But make sure that you lead them in the way of the word, in the way of the master. Discipline them, of course. Don't spread the rod. But make sure you lead them when they need to go. Don't tell them, well, you do it because I told you so. I'm your father and you didn't vote for me. This is not a democracy. I'm in charge. Well, let's see how that worked 20 years later. Just lead them. The way that God leads you. In fact, I'm going to get to that in a little thing, but now that I brought it, you know, you will lead your family the way God will lead you. He's your sample. Amen. So again, talking to the parents a little bit, train up your child in the way they should go. See? Point your child to the right direction. And when they will not depart. But what happens if you don't point in the right way? Yeah. Right. Well, don't blame the church. Right. But I'm sorry, you didn't have something for the young people. Well, this is your responsibility, not mine. Right. I mean, we try to help, we try to influence them, but at the end, it's your responsibility. Right. Sorry, I'm, you know, but I'm not sorry. It is what it is. I mean, I'm not trying to say that we are not, we as the pastor, we are all responsible for what we said and what we do. Right. And the example that we put forward. Right. But your parents, you, the responsibility is yours.
Right.
See? He says, happy is a man that findeth wisdom. He says, and the man that gather understanding. So as parents, that's what we do. As we grow older, we should be supposed to be wiser, right? And understand more. You know that wisdom, the Bible said, if you need wisdom to guide your family, you know, to do things, you ask for it. It's been given to you abundantly, not just, this is all you need today. No, abundantly. If you need, ask them. Amen. Brother Brown says in influence, I think that the kind of home that Yushar must have been raising because of the influence of his godly parents. So your influence, I continue building on that, your influence means more than what you think in your children's. He says, influence of his godly parents. And as soon as he became a king, ignore all popular opinion, politics. You know, we got a lot of politics in this message, a lot of opinions. And he set his mind for one thing. He will serve God regardless. Parents, you serve God regardless. Your children, then they will serve God regardless. But you are their example. They're keeping an eye on all of us and you. See? Regardless. So, listen, I don't care what the world out there and families. I know I told my family when I came into this message, not my family, my wife's family, there are 8 of them. And at the time, you know, we used to have a lot of family gatherings. You know, you Mexicans, we like to eat, like to have fun. We used to go to the park. I mean, fish, food everywhere, you know. Game, the kids are running all over the place. So they want to do that, but they want to do it on Sundays. You know, I said, when I came into the message, I tell them, listen, it's not that I don't love you, not that I want to go and have fellowship with you guys, but if it's Sunday, I can.
Right.
Regardless.
Right.
Sunday's for the Lord, period. Wednesday, you guys going to meet on Wednesday? No, I won't meet, and I told them. So they continue doing their things on Sunday because the weekend is, you know, we're going to get into that too in a minute. The weekend is just people think they're theirs. But really, nothing is yours, really. Everything belongs to the Lord. He created it all. For him, through him, everything is his. But he says, regardless what they said, regardless what they do, you know, my children came to visit me. Sometimes they come in March and April. Tina and Monica came and their whole family. And we had the meetings at that time, and they came to the last meeting. But you know, when they came, I said, you know what? I don't know what you're going to do tonight, but I got church. I mean, I would like to, I don't see him for a year. But you know what? Regardless,
right.
I love God.
Right.
I love my children. But I want to do what's right. That is to love God first over all things. He said, we need to some, he said, he who served God regardless, we need some more politicians like that. He was determined, talking about Yushar, he was determined that he was going to serve God regardless. Because that's the way he was raised. So, parents, how are you raising your children? And his father gave him the right influence that he could serve God and live. You want to see your children to live forever, have a good life. Then let's supply them with what they have need. And that is God first. Always God first. Again, in influence. If we as Christians should always watch what we do and we say. Now pay attention. That we are perfectly honest to every man. And you, if you cannot be honest with your fellow man, you certainly won't be honest with God. So, how we serve God is how we serve each other. So all I have to do is just watch what you do, and I tell you, you know, you can tell me that you love me. You can tell you can do anything, but if you love me, you should love me the way God loved me, the way God loves you. That is a top order. Okay? And if you don't love others that God, the way God loves you, that means you don't understand God's love to you. He forgive you. He take care of you. He provide. He protect you. He blesses you. And we want the same thing for everybody. So how do we serve God is how we serve each other. As honest as I would be with you, that is as honest as I will be with God. Be careful what you said and what you do. He says, and that's the same way you do to me. We must be honest with each other and all of our dealings. Talking about getting to be saints. See? That is what we progress into. You know? So if we progress into that, that means, you know, we start living behind those things. At the beginning, it's rough. Yeah, it's a lot of cleanup. We just, you know, like a baby being born. But, you know, after you start growing, you know, you start leaving that behind.
Right.
And you start picking up what God wants you to do. Honest in his saying. Now, John 4:20 says, as if a man says, I love God and hated his brother, then he's a liar. So here we go. Because if you say you love God and you don't love the brother the way you love God, then... Yeah. Then there's nothing there. There's no growth. It's imitation only. So I'm trying to show you the things that you can measure yourself. I am there, not there. Where I am, then I need to move forward. So he's a liar for the love, because that love not his brother whom he has seen. How can he love God? This is what brother just explained. The way you love, brother, the way you serve your brother, the way you do, that's how you love God. Now, for me, that's very moving because we want to love God with all our hearts, with all our mind, and we don't do church that way. Go figure, then. Because if that is how I love God, that's how you love you, the church. Hey, this is not a sober message. You guys are so serious. Why? I didn't mean to, you know. Hey, we're to the end. It's good things coming at the end. So how we love God is the way we love each other. We must be sincere with each other in all our ways. And that is a mark. That's the goal of a saint. You start checking yourself, not checking somebody else. Check yourself. Examine yourself. Because if this is not happening, it's easy. It's not very difficult. You know, you go through many situations and you meet many people and in church. You know how you're acting. I don't have to tell you. I don't have to be behind you like, you know, when some of you guys that came from other churches and they watch you and they send spies and see what you're doing. I don't need to do that. To see you living the life. You are your own spy. Spy on yourself. You know? You know where you are. And if you're not there, then cry out to God. Brother Andy was saying, cry out to God. I didn't want to be changed. This is not what I want. What is your desire? Cry out to God. We need to be sincere in all of our ways. Amen. First John 1:7, but if we walk in the light, and he's in the light, here we go again, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. Walk, you know, it's a way of life. It's your daily walk. The journey you walk. This is not just a one-time deal. This is an everyday walk. We walk with the Lord every day. So it's a way of life. It's a daily practice. Okay? It's not only on Sundays and Wednesdays you're nice to me or to your brother. well, I better do my good deed today. It's no good deed. Where your life, daily, practice, walk in it. You know, light is the reflect his moral character. You walk in the light of this message. We profess that we believe a message. This is the light for us that shows the way we should live, the way we should talk, the way we should treat each other, the way we do everything is in this message. And that we reflect the light is reflecting the moral character of God in our life. We walk in the light. We see the sun, a beautiful light. By day and by night, when we come to church, we sing by day and by night. You know, sometimes I tell you, if you're singing and you don't have an understanding what you're singing, don't sing it, because every word that comes out of our mouth, we are going to be accountable for. And I don't come to church just to sing. I don't have a good voice or a pretty voice or a beautiful one, so I don't want nobody to hear me singing anyway. But the Bible tells you to make sure you be aware, you know, what's coming out of your mouth. So if we sing, then we're going to be accountable. Oh, a beautiful light, the light of the world. You know, we sing the song. And everything that we sing, we should be not only singing, but we should be the example of a song. People need to see a song sing in us. Let me put it the other way. I don't want to hear a preacher, a sermon. I want to see one live. So the same thing with singing. If you sing something, mean it. The Bible says, be sincere in all your ways. Don't just do for doing because you came to church. Have an expectation. Have a motive. Have a purpose to come to church. Not just to be nice and look nice and see what I got on, you know. Have a purpose. Have a goal. Galatians 6:7 said, but be not deceived. You cannot fool God. You might fool me. You might fool the pastor. You cannot fool God. For whatsoever a man soweth, they shall also what? It's a law. See? If a person plans to be selfish, well, that's what he's going to reap. If a person wants to ignore the need of others in church, at home, well, what do you think is going to happen? God is going to ignore your needs. See, because it's an example. You know, we are here to help each other. In fact, we are here to see how can we serve others in their needs. Amen. This is not you're not an island unto yourself. Because if you don't go, we don't go. We go as a unit, remember? We're not going to go separately. In fact, we die, we go to the ground, but we wait until we unite together. We are not going to go one at a time. So if we are not working towards a unity and helping each other, I told you many times, and it's all over the place, you know, I need you and you need me. And you cannot ignore that when you come to church.
Right.
You cannot ignore that not coming to church or whatever.
Right.
Because I need you as much as you need me. You don't know that now, but you will know it. Amen, that we need each other. So we cannot ignore at least that need to help each other. And then the Bible says, when one suffer,
right.
What are we going to do with that one? We all suffer.
Right.
So see, we need to be aware of other people's needs and then trying to help others. Be sincere. That's what church is all about. Amen. Church is all about helping each other. The way God helped you, this is the way we're going to help each other. Period. 2 Corinthians 9:6. But this I said, he which sow sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sow bountifully shall reap also bountifully. How much do you want to get out of the service? Then how much you want to put in the service? You want to be blessed? How much blessed you want to leave this place? Well, become a blessing to others. You know, when you want to walk out of that door, you know, in fire, like the two old men, he says, did we, our hearts burn? Well, Brother Doug says, you know, engage, connect in the service. Say amen to wake up those that are, you know, to help your brother that is kind of tired, work hard. See? You engage. You get into it. And then you can might draw others to you. See? We don't want to be stingy planters. How much you want to put in the service, that's all you're going to get, period. And nothing to do with me. It just has to do with you. How much you want to pull, that's you. I'm here to do what I'm supposed to do, my part. Now you do your part. You need to pull. We don't need penny pinchers. You know, that's what we used to do at home. You know, when you didn't have that much money, you had to watch every penny. Don't come to church and be a penny pincher. I mean, all the blessings of heaven are yours. And you just God, you know, I don't need them. No, don't fill my cup, Lord. Just see it. No. Fill it to the rim and let it over. When we come to church, we should be the most happy people in this earth. So how you sow, if you want to be stingy in the service, be stingy. But whatever you expect, that's all you're going to get. See? You want to have a big harvest, lavish harvest. That's what I want. I want to live here, and I want to... let me tell Brother Brown tell you what it is. But before I get there, I want to take out the stingy planners. Wait a minute. The penny pinchers. Now, let me see. Are we there? Here we go. I'm going to take care of the people that like to. Well, I cannot do this. I don't have no time. Well, okay. Now, this is my heavenly social security. That's the reason I remember things. You know, I make things up, stories and things. So this is my heavenly security. 168-56-5062. All right? So there's 168 hours in the week. You know, you take 7 days at 24 hours, that's 168. Now, out of those 168, I have to work 56 hours. That's 8 hours, 5 days a week. That's 40 hours, right? I'm sorry, that 56 is the time that I need to sleep and rest. Let's take care of that first. You sleep 8 hours, at least, hopefully, 8 hours, 7 days a week, right? So that 56 hours that are yours still. And then 5 days a week, 8 hours, and then 50 hours, 7 days a week, 8 hours. That is, let's see where I am, 55 days a week that's work. Sorry, work. That's work because you only work 5 days a week, right? So that 50 hours of the day, it says, it's 8 hours for 8 hours, 7 days, it becomes, that's not the right math. Who did this? Okay, let me straighten it out. I was out of it when I started making this stuff. Work. You work 5 days a week, and you work 8 hours. That's 40 hours a week. Now, I'm going to give you 50 because it might take you an hour in the morning to get to work and an hour to get back. So now you add another, and you are, at least 2 hours. So that's what I put 50, because you need time to go, come back from home. Okay? So now that leave you from 50 and 56, you know, you sleep all those hours. Now you got 62 hours left out of the whole week. Right? Yeah. Now, God requires 10%. Yeah. He don't require 10% when you sleep. And you won't be able to do anything anyway. God don't require 10% when you're working. You need to maintain, you know, as you here, you have to live, you have to eat, you have to pay bills. God don't require 10% of that. But now you got left 62 hours that are yours. Now God requires 10% of that. So God only requires 6 hours out of 168 hours. And that's easy. Wednesday, an hour and a half. Sunday morning, an hour and a half. And Sunday night, another hour and a half. And you still just got to spare 1 hour to go and have Denny's or, you know, IHOP. Right? So where is this thing that you know, be stingy, but I don't have time to go to church? We're talking about 6 hours. And we cannot even give 6 hours out of 168 hours. You can have the other ones. Look, you got the whole week to do what you need to do and have Sunday and have to come to church. What's the problem? What is taking your 6 little hours? Well, I said I was going to take care of that. Amen. So 10% of 6 hours. And you can fulfill that in the service. God only asking you such a minute thing, and we want to take it away from God too. And even if you do it because you need to fulfill your 6 hours, I prefer to be right fulfilling 6 hours than not doing it at all. Anyway, that the 168, 5, 6, 50, 62. So you're only responsible to God for 6 hours. How cool is that? See? So if you're not in church because you have something else, that's the wrong way to go. You don't replace God time when you have all this other time that you could do that. Oh, I didn't study. Oh, I got an exam on Sunday, but why didn't you study on Saturday? No, Saturday is my day. Okay, what about God? Few little hours. But I cannot go to church now because I got to study. I left it for the last minute. I'm not sending you on vacation, you know. That's just a different story. You're sick. But normally, you know, I don't see no excuse why not to fulfill God's plan in our lives. In Luke 16:2, so let me move forward. And he called him and said unto him, how is that I hear this of thee? Give an account of the stewardship. We're going to give account. I'm talking about 6 hours, man. I'm talking about 168 hours. You want to go down for 6 hours? Right. It says, we're going to be account of thy stewardship, for that mayest be not longer steward. See? And he's talking about Matthew 25. You know, he gave some talents. You know, 1 5, 1 3, and 1 1. But there were one, the last one was a bad steward, you know. Well, he took what he had and gave it to somebody else, gave it to the other guys. So we have had to be careful because we're supposed to manage our time according to his purpose, not according to our purpose or somebody else's purpose. So regardless of what somebody else wants me to do, if it's not lined up with the purpose of God in my life, I will not do it. Right. I don't care if it's family. Look at Lot and Abraham. Right. No, God had to do the separation. You don't do, but God had to. It was a time that they needed to depart. God did that. Because God wanted to do more for Abraham. And as long as he was in that situation, he couldn't do more. It has to be a separation. We need to make a decision sooner or later who we are going to serve. With our mind, our hearts, our soul, our bodies. That's 100%. And 100%, you know, start with 6 hours. Now, this is what Brother Brown says. Second row. He said, a double portion of your spirit to come upon me. This is Elijah and Elisha. Remember, he wanted a double portion. He knew he had a work to do. So he needed a double portion. He knew what he was going to have to go through. A double portion, not just a good warm experience at church, a good singing, not just a good handshake or a good fellowship with the rest of the church. See? He said, but what I want is a double portion of what is the best now. So when you come to church, you already have your portion 40 years ago. You don't want no more? I mean, I don't mind. If you don't want the Holy Ghost to move in your life in the service, send it to me. I take it. I just don't want one portion. I want your portion too if you don't want it. Because that's what I came to church. I came to church to be blessed by God. And I just don't want to, that's my portion. And I want my portion and I want double portion. Don't be happy with just, you know, coming to church and just getting by. Why don't you just ask God for double of that? He says, don't be stingy with your time. Don't be stingy when you come to church. You know, get into it. You know, connect. You know, act like you want a double portion. Don't live, it's okay. I got a little bit, a drop of water here and there. No, just fill my cup, you know, empty the water. Lord, let the rain fall and let that soak me from head to, you know. Just like Brother Brown says, you know, the little fish in the ocean. You're not going to drink the whole ocean. Well, I better be careful, you know, because I don't want to drink the whole thing. It will never happen. You will never exhaust God's riches. Double portion, he says. What I want is a double portion of what is the best now. You know that this is the best you're going to get. There's nothing else out there. Work is not going to give you but problems and headaches and whatever. There's nothing out there. You know, friends, so forget it. The friend where you have something, but when you don't have, there are no more friends. This is the best that you're going to have. So if it's the best, I want the best double now. Oh, when I get to heaven, then we will be changed. And oh, how glorious. Well, and then in the meantime, what? You're going to be stingy. I better be careful, you know, because I got this little bit and I know God and I know how he is. And I better, just like the guy with one talent, I might put, no. You know, take it and double it. The other two, they double it, right? They got a double portion. This guy, he was two. He said, oh, but I know you are a God and you reap what you don't sow. And, you know, and he said, yeah, you knew that. So what did you do what I asked you? See? He says, not just got a woman's prayer, said, but I want a double portion of what's the best now. I think you type Elijah, right? Brother Brennan is our Elias, huh? So you're supposed to have a double portion. So why are we crying out that nothing is happening and I don't have no power and I don't know what's going on and nothing is moving? You have a double portion of what he had, according to what I read. So what is that? I tell you, when God sets a man for a world task, he has got to have something better than the world has got. He has got to have, he talks like I talk, he has got to have something better than the church has got. This is not about church, this is not about your pastor, this is not about me, this is about you, God. That the church got, he has got to go for a double portion. When you come to that church, what are you expecting? Well, just let the, you know, the pieces of bread, the crumbs fall. I'm satisfied with the crumbs. I'm not satisfied with no crumbs. That's not going to fill me up. I came hungry, and the crumb is not going to take that hunger away. Only to have a good portion, not only a good portion, but a little, but a double portion. Don't tell me that's kind of foreign to you. I see some of you guys when you go to those pigeria places. El Corral, Golden Corral. I see more than one play coming. And the play before, it was like a mountain. I see this place, it look like mountains, like pyramids. You want to get the best for your money, right? But why don't you come to church and get the best of God? Are you hungry? Then, you know, it's a buffet. You can come as many times as you want to. Fill my cup. No? Take this thirsting, take this hunger away. Amen. God is not going to let you go hungry or thirsty. Let me see, continues this. I don't even know what time. Okay, I got time. He says, God a double portion. Even Jesus told the disciples, he says, you know what? If somebody begs you to walk a mile, give them a double portion. What we're saying is, don't do what is required for you to do. I came to church. I drove. I give my time. I get my tithing. Well, that's the requirement. Well, we need to move to the other portion. See? So if somebody asks you in the days of a Roman soldier, if he was has all his duffel bag and a suitcase and his gun and he saw somebody, the law will say that he can beat anybody, summon anybody into service to help him carry at least some of that for at least a mile. But Jesus said, well, just go too. Amen. You want a double portion? Just do a little bit more than you are bid to do when you come to church. Enter in. Don't just sing, you know, like a little bird, you know. Open your mouth, you know. Belch it out. If there was a time that a double portion is needed, it's today. You see what he said? If there is a time to have a double portion, it's today. Today, I need more of him than I needed yesterday. And tomorrow, I'm going to need more and more. And the days are getting evil and darkness. And I'm going to need more, more, and more. So don't live here halfway with a cup when you can get full. He says, and if there ever a time that is a double portion is needed, it's today in the realm of the people. Something better, something higher. I can think beans and cornbread. He's thinking the same thing, you know, making yourself a pig, you know. It's very good, you know. But sometimes I have to reach up a little higher. And that's what we have to do when we come to church. Shake yourself up. Get into the atmosphere. You know, let's get a little higher. Ain't you tired to do the same thing every time you come on Sunday? I will be. Oh, that's the same song we sung last week. Man, this guy needs to change their, you know. Same thing every time I come. Same brother Doug, same brother Eli. But the word is not the same. Don't be tired. Don't be worried. It says over here, and we do what we got to. We got to keep higher, higher. We need to go towards the goal, climbing higher. That is the reason we are here. We want to go higher, higher, higher. And that's the title of my sermon, Climbing Towards Our Goal, you know, every day. If that don't happen when you live here, you don't feel like you just had taken another step, then rewind, come back, do it. It says in the realm of something better, something higher. I can't think of being a comrade and very good. Sometimes I have to reach up a little higher, see? And we do that. We have got to keep climbing. Israel was backsliding because if you're not moving forward, you're backsliding. Period. That's it. If you leave this service and you don't feel different, you're backsliding. That's all. Simple. Because you either go forward or you go backward. You cannot stay in one place. There is no, a balance is actually not a balance. You know, a balance, they said it's balance in zero, but nobody can really get a perfect balance. You're a little bit to the right or a little bit to the left. It says, we got to keep climbing. Israel's backsliding. If it keeps staying on the same ground, it's meaning that if you stay in the same rut, doing the same thing the same way, insanity, you will never get anywhere. Maybe we need to do something different. I don't know what it will be. But maybe you have to pray to God and ask him. We got to keep climbing, he says. She, the bride, has got to be moving and or moving back. See, either we move forward or we are moving backwards. We are not still. But the Simon, we're not still. You either coming forward or going backwards. There is no perfect balance. She got to be moving or moving back, and they weigh. And that's the way the church is. I don't want my church. I don't want me to be that way because I am the church.
Right.
So God commands us to have a generous heart always. That's why he says, go 2 miles instead of one. Be compassionate. We had that attitude towards the needy or the person. Don't just, see a homeless. Oh, man, that guy, he was here. I mean, he's making a lot of money there. He doesn't do nothing. Look at how young it is. It should be working anyway. I got some spare change. Yeah. Well, what you reap is what you sow.
Right.
You know? Be generous. I mean, maybe that's the only thing he's going to get. Next day, you don't know what's going to happen. At least he got $20. Oh, brother, I don't give him no $20. I don't know, whatever, you know. Here, get you a good meal. Here, get you a room in the motel and go on and get you washed up and clean up and change your clothes and have a good night's sleep. Maybe that's all he's going to get. Don't be stingy. We're not stingy Christians in anything that we do. Either we do put our heart all into it or not. See, so that's what the Roman government, Jesus said, need to walk the extra mile. How do we become a saint then? Well, you have to have a daily experience with God every day. You have to seek God. You have to read your Bible. And you have to pray. And I wish Brother Branham were put there and go to church. And he did in other places. But I wish we put it in the same, level with the other ones. You know, because that is how God speaks to you. That is how you grow. This is God's choice, not our choice. So Jesus showed the disciple has to pray, and he says, give us today our daily bread. You know, this is not just on Sundays and that we read our Bible and we pray only when we're in church. No, we do this every day. It's a daily walk. You want to move forward? Then daily walk. The day you don't do it, that's back. You're going back. Because you know what happened? You just stopped something that you was doing all the time. And what happened when you stopped going forward? Well, there's no other way to go. Don't give Satan's. Any chance for him to upset you. Let me see. Now, let me give you a church here. I'm going to jump a little bit here because for time's sake. This is a double portion church. This is what they're doing. This is the book of Acts, the Alpha, and we are the Omega. And they continuously, this is Acts 2:46, continuously, daily, and you can even come to church one time a week or two. This is daily. This is a double portion church. Okay, you don't have to be a church, but you make sure you're seeking him daily with one accord in the temple. Now, you wanted to complain about going to church. What about going to the temple every day? Continuously, daily. And they were complaining. He says, I'm breaking bread from house to house. So when they were not at church, come on, let's go have some fellowship. And here goes everybody to the house. You know? They eat their meat with gladness in simplicity, singleness, see, of heart. They were generous, you know? Not only in church, but they practice what they learn. Amen? Now, that's a double portion church. So today, 3 days a week, Wednesday, is a double portion church. We're not, but the rest of the week, it's up to you. If you walk daily with God. Amen. So almost wrapping this up. We have to focus our life. If we want to be saints of God, we need to focus our life and build a life that is going to achieve that goal. As we achieve that goal, you know, we start doing the things we have to do. Luke 14:26. Look, this is how the first thing you need to do to achieve that goal. If any man comes to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yeah, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Mine. That sounds, let me put it a little different for you. Because that word hate, you know, kind of, ooh. If any man come to me and love his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yeah, even his own life more than me, he cannot be my what? My disciple. So our life, we need to focus our life to the target, to the goal, to the mark. And that means it's just you and God. Every day. And if anything else gets in the way and distracts you and want to move you from your path, you have to what? Disregard that. So you have to love God more than anything in your life. Philippians 1:6, being confident in this very thing, that he which has begun the good work in you will perform until the day of Jesus Christ. You don't have to do it. You don't have to manufacture it. He will do it. All you have to do is surrender your life. God, I want to be that. I want to meet that. I want to get to that goal. I want to be like you. I want to be used. I want to be holy, because that is the goal. Say, God is the one that begins the good work in you. You didn't. He did. And he will continue it until he finishes it. And he wants to finish the work more than you want it. You know that? More than you desire, he wants to do it. The only thing that gets in the way is you. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. Therefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling. He said, and fulfill all the good, his good pleasure. See, surrender. Worthy of the calling. You know, fulfill his pleasure of his goodness. And the work of faith with power. With power. God is enough power. We just sung it. It's enough power to make your life the kind of life that he wants you to have. God is not stingy. He's just waiting for you. He wants to do it. 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. He said, not according to our works, but according to his purpose in grace, which was given unto us in Christ Jesus before the world began. This is what Brother Branham said in this position. He says, of the seven church ages, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Satan, whose name are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, but the life would not be shared in any other way than through the way of God manifest in the flesh. That's the only way. Okay. This was a part of his eternal predestination purpose. That's what he wants, to manifest his life through you. That is a high calling. He says, this was a part of his eternal predestinated purpose. Let me tell you, this plan was to be the praise and glory of his grace. It was the plan of redemption. It was the plan of salvation. Now listen closely. God being a savior was necessary that he predestined a man who requires salvation in order to give himself a reason and a purpose of being. So if God has to have a reason and a purpose, what about you? Right. If the Almighty God, creator of heaven the owner, a perfect one, has to have a reason and a purpose. Where did that leave you? Walking in life without reason and purpose? He said, that is 100% correct, and a multitude of Christians bear out as those the very point verse of Romans 11:36. For of him and through him and to him and all things, to whom is glory and honor. Amen. So Peter says in 2 Peter 1:10, wherefore, rather brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And how do you make it sure? Doing what he requires for you to do, to be what he wants you to be. That's how you make it sure. And if that's happening, then let's get down on our knees and find out why it's not happening. Because he promised that he will do it, and he called me and he filled me that he has to do it. What's the problem? Well, it's not God. So for if you do this thing, you shall never fall. Why? Because you fell in love with Jesus. One time you fell the wrong way, but now you have to fall up. Can you fall up? Yes, fall in love with him. We restore you. Romans 11:29. For the gift and callings of God are without repentance. You know, God don't make mistakes. And he will not change his mind. Just because we don't, that doesn't mean God has failed. God don't fail. See, he called and he will finish the work. God will not give you a gift and callings. You know, I say, oh, I made a mistake. I need to take it back. Well, you're making God a liar, because if God is perfect, he cannot make a mistake. You are not a mistake or a stake, whatever mistake you want. I hate that word in English, mistake. Not like a steak or a steak that you eat. What they call a mistake? I don't understand. English is funny to me. We don't make, you know, God don't make mistakes. And I believe that he will finish the word that started in us if we are sincere with one another and sincere with him. Ephesians 1:18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of his glory is in his inheritance into the same. See, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Understanding comes from the truth. Knowing the truth and have a revelation of the truth, that's his understanding. And the eye, it's not this eye, but it's the eye of your soul, heart. You don't see with the eye. Actually, I'm not going to go through it because the dog went through it the other day. The eye just windows to your soul. The eye see what it is in the heart. And the mouth speaks what is in the heart. So the eye, they are just windows. But you know who's processing all that information? Your brain. And that's what Brother Doug went through. The brain is the one that turns things. We don't go to go to there. Anyway, so the eye or your understanding. Amen. This revelation, to know him personally, is to focus and clear the way for us to know him personally. To have this Holy Spirit is a personal relationship with God. See? Ephesians 4:4, there's one body, one spirit, even as you call in hope of your calling. We are going the same way. We are traveling the same road. We are going in the same direction. We are climbing up the same way. So we are not doing different things. As a body and as individuals, our focus is same direction, same way. See, same road. So if somebody comes with something different, that is that. It's not then. Towards the goal, towards the mark, towards your high callings. Now, let me see what Jeremiah said right quick. For I know the thought that I think towards you, said the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not evil, to give you an expected end. So whatever you expect, that's your aim. He will give you whatever your expected end is. So what are you expecting tonight to get? What do you expect to receive? What do you expect to go? What do you expect to move? What do you expect to focus? Whatever you're expecting tonight, that's what you're going to get. good, bad, indifferent, ugly, terrible. What is your expectation tonight? So, this position of the seven eight churches. Now that we have come this far, let me try to crystallize the thinking on the subject that you can see the necessity of our going into supersede doctrine, as I have. We start with the fact that there's two trees in the midst of the garden, the tree of life and it was Jesus. The other tree was, definitely was Satan, because what come forward of the fruit of that tree. Now, then we know that both of those trees had relationship to man, or they would never have been placed there. So they there for a reason. They must have had a part in the sovereign plan and purpose of God in the relationship to mankind and to himself, or could never impute omniscience unto God. This is all true so far. It is not now. The word must definitely set forth that from before the foundation of the earth, the purpose of God was to share his eternal life with man. According, in Ephesians 1:4-11, Brother Barnes says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. That's our goal. Having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to his good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made accepted in the beloved. We are already accepted. See? Like Brother Andy was saying, he already made a covenant. You've already been accepted. He says, in whom we have redemption through the blood, forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace, holy, pure, sanctified. See, made known unto us the mystery of his will. And Brother Darwin preaching about the mystery, according to his good pleasure. See, it was his pleasure to do the which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the time, here we are, that's where we are now, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, but which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him. I'm glad that God had a purpose. God had a reason for being. God will care for us in this life if we just surrender to him. And he will show us a way. And he also will bring us home one of these days. Because he says, I'm going to prepare a place. And where I am, so you will be with me also. See? He knows that what he is doing. And he has all planned out from the beginning of the world. And he knows our future. This is what Hebrews 3:1 says. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle of the highest priest of our confession, that was Christ. Consider, Paul says, consider what? Live like Christ. Consider that. He says, he is the centerpiece of every believer. See, just like Jesus Christ was faithful in everything, he was obedient, that's the kind of life that we need to be. A central life in Christ. Christ humbled himself. He couldn't make himself a reputation, and he did. He came as a servant. He came humbly. Humility. And the best way he demonstrated that humility was by obedience. When we humble ourselves to God, we do what he wants us to do. And the more obedience we get, the more we humble ourselves. Amen. See, by our obedience, we demonstrate how much we love God. See. Now, God lifted up Jesus, exalted him to the most highest. See, from that humiliation that he went through. And this is a humiliation. This flesh, this life, the whole thing is a humiliation. But God is going to lift us up all of these days and exalt ourselves. See, above all these things. For the 2 Timothy 1:12 says, for the which cause, for this cause I also suffer these things. See, Paul is saying, I suffer. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. Let the word talk about it. Let whatever this, but he wasn't ashamed to serve Christ and to go through the thing he went to. You know, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Amen. And now if we can stand. I'm going to read one more verse. And so Paul wanted to know him not only in the power, but he wanted also to know him in the power of his resurrection, but he also wanted to know him in his suffering. No, we don't like to suffer. We like the power. But Paul wanted to know him in his suffering. Because that's what he learned, what? Obedience. And then that's why he humbled himself in through his life. Because tribulation works patience. And then patience brings experience. When you wait on God and you see that he brings what he promised you, you know, if you need deliverance, if you're sick and you need to be well, if you're in trouble and you need some help, you know, or you're in a situation that you need help, God, you know, cry out to God. Amen. And then you will see the salvation. And then when he do that, see, then you patient to wait for him, and then you experience the power of God in your life. How else are you going to experience your life if nothing happens to your life? When something happens in our life, we should be at rest and at peace because God is in control. And God is trying to bring something out of us. Not something that he needs to put in us. There's something that is already here that you don't even know. But God wants to bring the best of you out. So this situation is working out favor anyway. Satan don't know that. To make us who we are. Amen. Hallelujah. So, living by faith in Christ. I was thinking of that song. I don't know. And I'm not going to sing, but, you know, moving the upward way, something how it goes. It's a song that said to go the upward, high ground, because that's what we want to do tonight. I can try it if you help me anyway. What is... I'm going to try. I'm going to double portion. I'm going to try. I'm going to sing. I don't care if I don't know how to sing. Okay. Well, I see the words. The upward way, my faith. I don't know where I am. No higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand. Wait on him, men table cloud, a higher place. That's what I want to go. That I have found, Lord, no higher ground. New heights I'm gained in every day. Yeah, still praying, ain't no about Lord. Feel on higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My friend.